I've had the privilege of reading Dave's book, Hope Beyond Cure. And I've managed to send it off to a friend that I have who's got stage 4 melanoma cancer. And so I'm hoping that'll be a good encouragement to him. But I'm also planning on getting a copy for my my grandparents and my parents, because I think it's a great book for them to read too. I'm not going to tell you about what's in the book. I think it's good for Dave to come up, and I think Fiona's going to come up, and we're going to hear about them and a bit of their story.
G'day. Stand close. Yeah, we can stand close together. This is not going to take very long, by the way, despite the fact that we drove to Sydney yesterday and drove back from Sydney, and we argued in the car for 3 hours both ways about what we should and shouldn't say. Is cancer stressful? I've no idea, but yesterday was. Now, we're going to begin this really by asking each other some questions, and I'm going to do the polite thing, and I'm going to ask Fiona the question first. Fiona, how do you feel about this book?
All right. So this is Hope Beyond Cure, my husband's book. I hate it. I hate this book. Let me rephrase that. I hate the circumstances that have happened to enable Dave to write this book as a cancer sufferer from his first-hand experience. I hate the fact that Dave's had cancer. I hate that it was just so random, so totally out of the blue. My work colleagues down there, they know that I just had to walk out of work one day and that was it. And that it's caused so much pain and distress and chaos in our lives. So I hate hearing of friends and relatives who've got cancer. And one of the worst things I hate is having to tell patients that they have cancer, because they just stiffen up, their faces crumble, and you can just see their lives shattering in front of you. And it's just awful. I mean, it's great when you can really quickly say, no, it's all right, we can fix it. We can send you to the surgeon, he can cut it out. We're going to send you to the radiotherapist and he's going to shoot some x-rays at it. We'll send you off to the oncologist and they're going to put some drugs in your body. It'll make you feel a bit crook for a while, but hey, it's going to kill that cancer. So it's okay when I can tell people, it's all right, it's all right. It's not a death sentence, we can do something about it. But it's not always like that, and you don't always have that privilege of being able to say, we can do something. There's not always a fix, but and in a sense, that's why I don't hate the book. It's actually, I appreciate that there is such a book. I appreciate that Dave's had cancer and that he's actually had the ability to write such a book as this. That although there's not always hope medically, that there is hope. That there is hope beyond a cure, that there's hope beyond sickness, that there's hope beyond pain and death, and that there's a certain hope of life in heaven where there will be no more pain or tears or sickness or grief. That's one of the promises of God that I've really hung on to throughout all this time. Because it's when you're confronted with your own mortality that people really do ask the big questions of life. Why have I got this? What have I done to deserve this? Where is God? Does he care? Does he notice what's going on in my life? If he's so good, why did he allow this to happen? Is God punishing me? And, of course, there's always fear. There might be bravado and fight and determination that we're going to beat this thing, but there's always fear. Fear of what's going to happen, fear of dying, fear of what happens after you die, fear of what's going to happen to your loved ones who are left behind. So I appreciate the book because in facing his own mortality, you've had to ask those hard questions and you've had to feel and confront that fear. And you've had to think through your faith as it's been challenged by the circumstances, and that your faith has been proven to be based in reality. God is there. He does care. He is in control. He loves us, he loves our family, and he is working things out for our good, whatever the circumstances, and despite what the final outcome might be. And it's not a faith that's based on wishful thinking. It's grounded in the truth of the gospel as we've heard here today. It's based in the fact that Jesus died, lived, died, came back to life and promises to be with us here now in this life and to take us home to be with him in heaven at the end. So I hate you, Cancer. but I love that you've written about the hope that you have in the face of it. And that actually I can give this to others and to be able to give them some hope and some comfort. That I can tell them that God does love them, that he does care for them, that he is there for them, that he will be working through their circumstances to bring them to him, and that there is hope, whether there's a cure or not. So that's how I feel. How do you feel about the book, honey?
I feel a little self-conscious about the book already. The fact that, you know, there's this picture of... It's not a picture of me, by the way. It's not me running out for the Wallabies through the ANZ Stadium tunnel. In my dreams, I do that quite a bit, actually.
Our son wishes.
So there's a bit of self-consciousness about it in offering it to people. But I'm okay with it, ultimately, because it's not a book about me. Yes, it does share of my story, but it's ultimately a book about Jesus Christ, because it's a book that gives people hope that I can't give them. I can't fix people. I can't solve problems. I can't fix up circumstances. But as we've seen in the beginning of this letter that we're going to be looking at in 1 Peter, God offers a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I want people to know that. And so it gives me the opportunity to give it to people, for people to buy it, for people to read it. I had the privilege through this week of being able to present this book to all the players and coaches at the Brumbies, and that was a great thrill. There was a couple of people who weren't there at that meeting, and I chased one of them up in the AIS dining hall on the Wednesday, and I was just talking a little bit about the book. I didn't actually mention the word cancer at all. I just said, look, you weren't at the meeting yesterday, and I was giving everyone a copy of my book. Would you like one? And there was an athlete swimmer standing beside me, and he was looking at the copy of the book in my hand, and he was hearing what I was saying to the other man. And he said to me, do you mind if I have a copy? I said, be very happy to. And after the lunch, I went out to my car, and he wanted to buy a copy off me. This was a young swimmer, 18 years of age, whose close aunt had died of cancer just over the summer holidays. It's not just a book for people with cancer, though. This is a book which I think addresses a problem that every one of us face, and that is, how do you cope with difficult times, struggles, suffering in life, and is there really something beyond death? Is there something really that you can hang on to for eternity? And I believe there is. And for that reason, I'm glad to have been able to write the book.
I've given the book away already to some people, and people have already come up to me and said, oh, I was in tears on page 20. And the first 20 to 40 chapters, pages, thank goodness it's not that long. The first pages are really gripping. I mean, because we like looking at other people's lives. We like seeing in and hearing of their experiences. But it's the last chapters, faith, hope, love, that are the important chapters, because that's where the hope lies and that's where the answer is. We didn't know how to launch a book, so I'm just going to say that it's launched. I love my husband. It's a bit like that hate-love thing. Sometimes I struggle. I love my husband. I'm very grateful to God that he's here, that this isn't a posthumous launch, that I didn't have to write the book instead. I'm very grateful to God for the miracle that he's brought in our life so far. And I look forward to seeing what else God will do in our lives. I'm looking forward to seeing that God will use this book to give hope and encouragement and comfort to many others. And I can look forward to that even if the next scan isn't good, because I know that in our lives that we've experienced the love and generosity of God.
Thanks. I think this is the point where I'm supposed to crack open a bottle of champagne and spray it everywhere. But a much more appropriate thing to do would be to thank God and to pray, and Jen's going to lead us in doing that.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Dave and that he is here today sharing his story with us. Thank you for the way you have cared for Dave and Fiona and their family through this illness and beyond, and for the things that you've taught them in the past 26 months. Thank you that your word is clear and true, and that you have used it to show Dave that he can indeed have hope beyond a cure. Keep his confidence in Jesus and what he has done. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, that he chose to die so that we can live. Thank you that you raised him to life again, showing your power over death. May this reality be a great comfort to us all as we face our own mortality. Father, we want Dave to be healed from this cancer in his body, for him to be free from the chemo that attacks him. If it is your will, we pray you will do that. But most of all, whatever else, we pray that however many days, months, years Dave has left on this earth, that he will choose to use them praising you for your mercy, your blessings and your kindness to him. Help him to continue to tell people about you with this renewed vigour, knowing that he can trust you with his life and his death. We thank you for giving Dave the health and strength to write the words that you want shared with the nations, that Jesus is the only real reason for real hope. Please use this book to introduce people to the hope in you. Amen.